Well, when I saw this paper, in those papers that you folks have been giving me, I had to chuckle a little bit because anyone who's ever studied this kind of knows where this is going a little bit. I thought it would be interesting to title the message this morning, Who Slept With Whom? I promise I will keep it rated PG. I know there's probably a lot of interest this morning about where we're going to go with this, but as we lay this out, I want you to be receptive to what is here and what is not here, and why it's here and why it's not here. A lot of questions about the beginning of time that we read about in Genesis. A lot of things we do understand, a lot of things we don't understand. So it's important as we go over this to do a little homework first about what preceded the scripture reading that Moses wrote. In chapter 1, we read about the creation of the heavens and the earth. And we read that on the sixth day, God created man. God created man in his own image, in God's own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, in looking at this a little bit, we have to stop a moment and really dissect some words here, because there's a lot of controversy about this about Genesis and about this history in Genesis. Some people believe that when God created man, that he created mankind, that he created many, and that he created man and woman at the same time. So when we start to look at this word man, first of all, we see God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, this word man in the Hebrew language is Adam. Okay, so now we start to get our gears turned. It's Adam. It means ruddy. It implies a human being, but it also can imply an individual or a species, an example of mankind. But we have to go on a little bit from it to really understand what's meant. Here he says, let us make man in our image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, man. Okay, we go on to see in chapter 2, out of all the creatures that God created, there was no suitable helper found for Adam. Here in chapter 2, the man is given a formal name. It's in capital letters in most translations. For Adam, no suitable helper was found. God brought the animals to the man to see what he would name them. So we start to see in some of the language here, we start to get this understanding that God didn't create mankind, many men. He created the man. God brought the animals to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. But for Adam, proper name, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Okay? So we start to see in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. And he created a man. Okay? That man was formally named Adam in the Hebrew language as we get to chapter 2. And as the Lord God made the woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she should be called woman. Woe man. Allow me a little bit of humor this morning. Adam took one look at this woman. He saw all the other things, and he wasn't interested in them. He took one look at this woman, and he said, woe man. Didn't he? And we have to have a little bit of humor in reading this particular part of the Old Testament, because it is thousands of years ago this took place. But we start to see God didn't create a whole realm of women out of Adam. He took that one man and took a rib out and created the woman. Okay? The man is named Adam. The woman in Hebrew is Isha, which is the feminine of the Hebrew Ish, or the Hebrew Enosh. Okay, and we start thinking of what these words mean. The word Enosh means a mortal being differing and different from the more dignified Hebrew of Adam. So we see she was different from Adam. And from this comes the Hebrew word Anosh, which means to be frail or feeble. Okay? So we start to see, as Moses wrote this, in the words that he used, he was showing that God created a man. His proper name was Adam, and he created a woman who was a mortal being, differing from Adam, frail and feeble in difference. And Adam, in chapter 3, named her Eve. Eve means life giver. Adam named his wife Eve. He named her life giver because she would become the mother of all living. I want you to think about this. She would become the mother of all living. Now, we start to see that God didn't create a race of men and women all at the same time. He started with a man. He started with a woman. And the woman would be the life giver and the mother of all humankind. What's the word there? Mother of all the living. If there were other women, they would have been mothers of the living. So we start to see the way that it's written that there was Adam and there was Eve. Man and woman. Now, our scripture today tells us that Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord I brought forth a man." And later she gave birth to a brother, Abel. And we read the story about Cain and Abel. One was a farmer, one was a hunter. Here was the beginning of two tribes of people. There were the hunters and there were the farmers, the ones that were more stationary and the ones that were nomads. We read the story about Cain killing Abel and so on and so forth. But it jumps to the part now, and in this, up to this point, we only have Cain and Abel. All of a sudden, Cain lay with his wife. He lay with his Isha, which means woman, wife, female. He lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Oh boy, this causes a stir among people who like to say, well, you know, where did Cain get his wife, and is the Bible really true? Can we really believe it, and why doesn't it tell us, and so on and so forth? Well, it does not tell us for a certain reason. But first of all, some of the things I want to get into is Adam was less than 100 years old when Cain was born. Adam was less than 100 years old when Cain was born. He was a little over 100 when Abel was born. He was 130 when Seth was born. It tells us in chapter 5, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, and he named him Seth. It tells us in the latter part of chapter 4, Adam lay with his wife, and she gave birth to Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Okay? So now we had Cain and Abel. Abel's dead. Now we have Cain and Seth. Now, in that course of time, Adam was 100 years old when Cain was born. A little over 100 when Abel was born, and 130 when Seth was born. Three boys over the course of 130 years. We know from Hebrew history that the Hebrews were very into their genealogy, especially on the side of the man. Okay? They were very into their genealogy. And I want to ask you folks something. If there's one man and one woman on this earth, and they're living together that long, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what estrogen and testosterone do to people, right? There were more people on this earth by the time of Cain, because it tells us in chapter 5 that Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. It tells us that Cain was building a city and he named it after his son Enoch. Why would he be building a city if there was only 3 or 4 people or 5 people on the earth at that time? He was building a city because at that time the human population was doing exactly what God wanted them to do, to procreate and populate the earth. All right? And this was what was taking place at the time at an exponential rate. All right? Genesis 5 tells us that Adam lived 930 years and had other sons and daughters. So why does Moses only list these few children and only the men? First of all, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses had no clue what was going to happen from then on through the years down to Jesus. So we turn back to chapter 3 of Luke's Gospel, and we start to see an interesting genealogy here. It's the genealogy of Jesus from Adam in the very beginning. To show, as you know, Luke was a doctor. And Luke's purpose was to show that this Messiah, this Jesus, was a human being, in fact, that descended clear back from the original human beings in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Moses didn't know that when he wrote the story in Genesis. But by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in the beginning with Moses and later on with Luke, we can start to see biblically the importance of the genealogy and why it's even told about Cain and Seth. And one of the things that happened, if you notice, Seth also had children and named one of them Enoch. Now to the Hebrew, which Enoch was it that Jesus came from? Well, we start to read through the Old Testament history and genealogies that it was from the Enoch that came from the line of Seth, not from the line of Cain. So it would have been important for them to know that the genealogy of Jesus went back through to Seth, not to Cain. That would have been important to the Hebrew people. Secondly, some think that Luke's genealogy was through Mary, and that Matthew's genealogy was through Joseph. Some believe that some of the names were different because they were names for the same people that had been transliterated differently through the years. But at any rate, Luke traces Jesus all the way back to Adam through this line and through this way. Secondly, we see, importantly, where the gospel comes into play in all this. In Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about righteousness and says, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Death entered the world through one man. If there would have been a whole race of men, all mankind, many men throughout the world that God created all at once, okay, what happened to those other men? Why does the Bible not speak about them? But in fact, Paul, later on in Romans, says that sin entered the world through one man. That was the original sin in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. And furthermore, before the law was given, sin was in the world. And sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Therefore, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. I want you to keep that in mind. Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Because there were these relationships, okay, that were for different purposes. And let me get into that. If you're one of those people who diligently search the scriptures to figure out if the Bible's right or wrong, I want to say this morning, shame on you for using these Old Testament passages. Because that's one of the enemy's oldest tricks, is to get us sidelined on things that really are not important when it comes to salvation. To get us sidetracked and keep us busy so we won't spend our time focusing on the truth. Take Winnie the Pooh, for instance. I know Winnie the Pooh is a fictional character, but we love him, don't we? We love Winnie the Pooh. We love the stories. He's taught us some valuable principles about life. But my question is, where's his mother? Right? Where did he come from? Why isn't Pooh married? Why doesn't he ever grow up? Why are there no other bears in the story? You see what I'm saying? The answer is because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The difference is that Pooh's fictional and Adam and Eve are historical. And what we find is when we apply the biblical principles to our lives and trust the God who's revealed there, we find that the Bible is not only true, we find that the Bible is right. And this is true faith. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, "Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." That we might have faith as little children to trust that this is God's word, even though we don't fully understand where Cain's wife came from. The fact that it doesn't mention Cain's wife here is of no significance, and we shouldn't get all wound up in it and wrapped up in it. We can deduct that there were other women. There had to be. Whether family or otherwise, there had to be other women. But there's some things that we just cannot and will not understand until we face our Creator someday. And we have to understand that until the time of God's laws in Exodus and Leviticus, relations like these were common but not unlawful among God's people. I mean, God had two people and He told them to procreate, to populate the earth. God knew what was going to happen. He knew that there were going to be these relational, these inter-family relations. But at that point in time, it wasn't viewed the same by God because there was no law. The same is true when Noah and his family came out of the ark. 1600 years after Cain came the flood. And Noah, his wife, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives. Eight people came out of that ark. Where did the rest of the people come on the earth after that? Okay? You see what I'm saying? There had to be inter-family relations at this point in history. In 1 Peter, it tells us that these people, that in this time of Noah, the people who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark in which a few, eight persons were brought safely through the water. But by the time we get to Lot's story, in Genesis 19, approximately 2,000 years later, we see something changing. So in the course of that first 2,000 years, a lot changes, and it continues to change as time goes on from Adam and Eve. Sons were born by incest between Lot and his two daughters. His daughters, if you remember, got him drunk, and they both slept with him. And there were two sons born. One's name was Moab, the other was Ben-Ammi. Moab was the father of the Moabites. Ben-Ammi was the father of the Ammonites. And both of these tribes were enemies of God's chosen people, Israel. Why? Because of the act of incest at that time. So we see as time goes on, this practice starts to be detestable to God and it's forbidden as time goes on. Why? Because the gene pool at that point had become so polluted in humanity and humankind that a lot of things were happening. Then 3,000 years later, in Leviticus chapter 18, we read that this kind of practice is forbidden by God. So we see that in these olden times, there were men and women on the earth, all from Adam and Eve, brothers and sisters, possibly nieces, uncles in these relationships. We say, that's not right. It's against God's law. I object to this. It means the Bible can't be true because later God gives the law to say not to do this. Some say you can't marry a relation. And actually, I want to say to you folks this morning, if you don't marry your relation, you don't marry a human being. Think about that. We all trace ourselves back to Adam, don't we? And I kind of want to put a little thought in your mind this morning that our family tree from Adam and Eve, as it comes down through the years, doesn't come out like this. It comes out and it goes like this. Because we're all brothers and sisters. Sons of Adam, daughters of Eve, right? We're marrying our relation, whether we want to admit it or not, when we marry, aren't we? Technically. A wife is related to her husband before they're married because all people are descendants of Adam and Eve. They're all of one blood. The law forbidding close relatives marrying wasn't given until the time of Moses. So therefore, death reigned until that law was given by God. Remember, Abraham was married to his half-sister. And we can only find a solution to all this. We say, well, what's it mean? Big deal. What does it mean to us today? It means we have to trust God's word. That God had a plan that through from the first man, another man would be born and his name would be Jesus of Nazareth. That he would come through a certain line, through a certain tribe from God's people, from Israel from the very beginning. And that as time went on and man continued to grow and population on the earth continued to grow, so did mutations in the gene pool. And that as things became more and more corrupt because of the original sin in the world, God, in order to preserve His people and protect them, in Leviticus said, do not lie with your mother, with your father's aunt, or with your father's sister, with a close relative. It's detestable to God because God knew that if that kind of thing took place, that His people would be corrupted and defiled. In fact, He said, that's what the people are doing in the country where I'm sending you to take over. That's the kind of practices they're involved with. It seems like everybody's sleeping with everybody and it's okay with God, so it should be okay today. Absolutely not. It was okay with God at that point for a certain purpose. God knew what He was doing. We all come from one man and one woman. And we say, who was Cain's wife? I don't know. Anybody here know? Evidently there was other women, or he wouldn't have had somebody to lay with. I'm guessing it was one of his sisters, because it tells us Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters. Does that seem perverse? Maybe in some of our minds today it does. But God was in complete control from the very beginning. He knew what He was doing, and He still does today. And I say that we all have to understand, as Paul said in Romans, the importance of this is showing us that sin entered the world through one man and that salvation comes to all people through one man. You see the importance of that? Sin came into the world through Adam, into all people, and that through Jesus Christ, all people are saved. So we have to continue to read the Old Testament into the New Testament. And we soon find out why these names are listed. Because it's important for us to know who Jesus was. That He was human, that God knew what He was doing, and that this was part of God's plan, no matter how perverse it might seem to us, that we can trust God's word as true. I hope that answers any questions anybody's had in their mind about this. We still struggle with it. I still struggle with it. But I trust that God's word is true, and I continue to read on and read on. Let's pray. Dear Lord our God, although we don't fully understand many things that